Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we're beginning in verse 14, reading through verse 30. Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, this is God's word. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum." "I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus had grown up in Nazareth. He's been away for a while. He's been traveling some. And word about him has spread, and his reputation is good. But as Jesus says here, you're going to say, "Why don't you do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum? We'd like to see some of that stuff." Jesus is not going to play their game. He always does what the Father tells him to do. He always says what the Father tells him to say. And so when they encounter Jesus at the synagogue, that's not a surprise. Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. He's in his hometown. He's in the synagogue where he had grown up. And he's doing what he usually did, to go there to worship with his childhood neighbors. He not only went to the synagogue, he went to the scriptures. When they handed him a scroll, he didn't say, "Oh, I don't need this. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you." He could have done that if the Father had told him to, but instead, Jesus went to the scriptures, and he went to the scriptures that they handed him. They handed him the scroll of Isaiah. Suppose they'd handed him a different scroll. Well, I mean, God is sovereign, and he caused this to happen this way. But suppose they'd handed him a different passage. Maybe the Psalms. Maybe Genesis. Maybe Leviticus. What do we know from what Jesus teaches about whatever passage they had handed him? All the scriptures point to Jesus. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch who's riding in a chariot and the Lord sends Philip the evangelist to him? He was also reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And Isaiah said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone explains it?" And so Philip got up in the chariot with him and he said, "Look, I'm not going to deal with Isaiah. Have you got any other scrolls?" "No," it says, "beginning right where he was," he explained to him that this was about Jesus. Do you remember after Jesus' resurrection, when he met with some of his followers and he opened their minds so that they could understand, and he began to take them through the scriptures and help them recognize that from first to last, all the Old Testament pointed to Jesus. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You study the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but they're talking about me. Eternal life is in Jesus." The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Preach the scriptures." What scriptures was he talking about? He was talking about the Old Testament. If you think that the Old Testament doesn't really speak to us today, it's not really important, you are going against the New Testament. Because the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament is God's Word. And that if it is understood correctly, it is all about Jesus. And so they gave him the prophet Isaiah to read from, and unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That is from Isaiah 61. And then Jesus said something. This ancient message from hundreds of years before, this message is now fulfilled in your midst. Right here today. This is now fulfilled. Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it." Jesus came because God had said this is what's going to happen. And all those Old Testament scriptures, in one way or another, from Genesis through Malachi, all pointed to him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, initially, as Jesus is saying this, it sounds nice. They're listening, they're paying attention, and they think, well, this is nice. But Jesus knew that their hearts weren't really with him. Jesus knew that they were not going to accept him, because it turns out that as he did the Father's will, it was going to overturn theirs. It was going to go against their wishes. They wanted a Messiah who would overthrow Rome. They wanted a Messiah who would put them back on top. But the kingdom of God is not about putting us on top. The kingdom of God is about us coming under God's authority. He is the king in the kingdom of God. Figures, doesn't it? But a lot of people want the will of God as long as the will of God is what they have imagined. As long as things go their way. Do you really think God knows better than you do? I mean, honestly. Do you really think God knows better than you do? Well, I've been tested. I'm pretty smart. How smart are you? Smart enough to create the universe out of nothing? Do you think God knows everything about the future? It seems like he does, yes. Then the question is, can you trust him? Do you believe that he loves you? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? How can we possibly question whether the will of God is better than ours? If you really believe that God knows best and that God wants the best for those he loves, then to pray, Father, please do this, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done, is, in the words of the Puritans, enlightened self-interest. Okay? They said it's not the best motive, is that you really just want what's best for yourself, but it's a lot smarter than thinking you've got a plan that's better than God. You'd have to be a complete fool to think that your plan is better than God's. God is, in fact, working all things together for the good of those who love him, who are the called according to his purpose. And so, these folks, Jesus knew, were going to end up rejecting him. And we see it happen immediately. When Jesus begins to poke a little bit, what does he say? I tell you the truth, he continued. No prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. You're saying God sent his great prophet Elijah that we revere? God sent Elijah to a foreigner instead of to one of the widows there in Israel. He says, well, yeah, let me give you another example. There were a lot of people with leprosy in Elisha's day, but none of them got healed. Only Naaman, the foreigner. The foreigner from a foreign country that was an enemy of Israel, oppressing Israel. And that guy, Naaman, who got healed, was the commander of the foreign military that had swooped down and oppressed the people and taken off some of their children to be slaves in that foreign country. Why in the world would God do that? Because God is God, and He knows what's best, and He does what is right. Well, I don't much like that. Tough darts. You don't like it? You're not in charge. Well, I know I'm not in charge, but it seems to me I ought to be able to have some sway with God, pray, and get things done. You can. You can pray, and God will give you exactly what you ask for if what you're praying is in accordance with His Word, which expresses His will. We read in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of Him. I've prayed for things that only God could do, and God has done them. And I've prayed for things that only God could do, and He said, nope. And it turns out, every single time, God's right. Surprise, surprise. So, when the people in the synagogue heard this, they were furious. You remember what they said earlier? Isn't this Joseph's son? Where did he get this stuff? That wasn't a compliment when they said, isn't this Joseph's son? That scripture he read from Isaiah when he said, this is now fulfilled in your hearing, that was a messianic declaration. That was something the Messiah was supposed to say. Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah, and they're saying, we thought this was Joseph's son. Come on, what's going on? Jesus is, there's going to be rejection. He's not only the chosen one, he's the rejected one. He's God's chosen, rejected by man. He is that stone that the builders rejected. Well, when they rejected him, they really rejected him. Look at this. All the people in the synagogue were furious, not just some. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And they got up and drove him out of town. That doesn't mean they put him in a limo and drove him somewhere. It means they herded him like an animal. They drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. They were out to kill him. I mean, earlier they're saying, oh, this is wonderful. Now, it's not like days later they thought about it and began to stew and get angry and some of them met together and decided, let's do a lynch mob. No, I mean, they turned like that. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. They weren't able to kill him then. It was a bunch of people. How did he walk through the crowd? I don't know. I just know he left. But I know why, and I know ultimately how. John chapter 10, verse 18. He's talking about laying his life down, and this is what Jesus says. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. What's he talking about? I lay down my life, verse 17, only to take it up again. How did Jesus do it? He had authority. He had authority to lay his life down, and he had authority to raise it up again. Authority is always from above. I mentioned earlier in this message the fact that Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. and I only say what the Father tells me to say. And that brings us really to our main point for today. What you believe about Jesus doesn't change who he is. What you believe determines who you are. What you believe about Jesus doesn't change who he is. If they believed he was the Messiah, did that make him the Messiah? No. He was the Messiah. What if they believed he was an imposter? Does that make him an imposter? No. He's the Messiah. What you believe about Jesus doesn't change who he is. He is who he is. He is the great I am. The Word became flesh and lived among us. And those who believed, he gave the power to become the children of God. You can be God's child through faith in Jesus Christ. But if you reject him, it doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is not running for election. Jesus is not needing your vote. You need to get right with God, and Jesus is the only way. The only way that we can be reconciled to God is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so I want you to consider honestly, have you come to him and asked his forgiveness and surrendered your life to him as your Lord and Master? Are you depending on him and trusting in him and seeking to do what he says? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he your boss? If he's not, doesn't change who he is. Changes who you are. If you want him to be the boss of your life, tell him. Surrender. Say, I am not good at running my life. Would you please take control? Be my master. I want to surrender to you. I don't even understand how exactly, but whatever it is, I need you to save me because I can't save myself. And if what you want is just forgiveness, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a new life. We're talking about Jesus giving you new birth. If you're trusting in him, he guarantees far more than forgiveness. He gives you a brand new life. Jesus tells us that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give us life abundantly. So it'll always be fun? No. Always be easy? No. Never be scary? No. But it'll always be wonderful. Stephen Curtis Chapman, that marvelous Christian singer, wrote a song back when I was young, The Great Adventure. Following Jesus is not a picnic, but it sure is a great adventure. And he will carry us safely home.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.